Praise the Lord. And once again, welcome to High Point Church and our first public Sunday service. Now, as I look out here, I hope there'll be people here at the second service. You do remember we have two services. Some of you might need to stay so we don't think that we only have five people. I am so thankful, man, so thankful to our Lord. Thankful for all of you, thankful for all the volunteers, all the people that put this together. So many people to thank. I would be preaching to the next service. So we got to get going. We got to get into why we're here. We dedicated this building and ourselves on Friday night. We prayed. We had a 24 hours of prayer. You see in the corners a trees highlighted with gratitude and a cross where people were able to confess their sins and write them down and in a sense put them at the foot of the cross. Those will continue up because this will be a house of prayer. And so continue to add gratitude and because we're sinners every day, that thing will probably fill up pretty good too. That's why we need the Lord. That's why we're here. This Sunday and next Sunday, Pastor Darren and I are going to be doing a small series called Dedicated. We're launching a dedication service. That's what this is. A dedication basically means to set something apart, make it holy. Something's different. So in a sense, what makes the church different than any other social gathering that might be going on today? What are we dedicated to? This week and next week, we are going to remind ourselves as a church what we are dedicated to. For anybody that steps into these walls will know that we are dedicated to the Lord. But how so? For most that call High Point their church, it will be a good reminder. But for those who will walk in this door, maybe for some of you for the very first time, you need to know what we're all about. This morning I'm going to walk through three, and Darren will walk through the fourth next week. So let's get started. The number one truth that High Point Church is dedicated to, at High Point Church we are dedicated to the gospel. This is first on our dedicated list because, well, the Bible says, Paul tells us, he tells the church in Corinth, the gospel is the first of first importance. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul writes, now I want to remind you, brothers, that the people in the church, the believers, of the gospel that I preached to you, which you receive, which you stand, and by which you are being saved. There were people coming into the church that didn't know Jesus yet. If you hold fast to the word that I preached to you, unless you believed in vain, for I delivered to you of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. The gospel means good news. To Paul, the gospel is of first importance to the church in Corinth. And I would say it's the first importance to any church. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the greatest event of all history, of all mankind. This truth, the gospel truth, changes everything. This truth, this gospel truth, answers the glaring question that every single person should have. How can I be made right with God? It's what Job asked. How then can we be made right with God? Since we are born of women, born into sin, this is a question we have to answer. The gospel answers it. The gospel message was first told to Adam and Eve when they sinned. God explained to them his plan, explained to them his plan from the very beginning, how he was going to save his creation. God told Satan this, I will cause hostility between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He, meaning Jesus, the Son of God, he will strike your head and you will strike his heel. Jesus, the Son of God, fulfilled this on the cross by taking our place for the wrath that we deserve because of our sin. The perfect, sinless Son of God died in our place. I love how Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He says, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be an offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. In these verses, we see Jesus, the Son of God, his role in the redemption plan, in the reconciliation plan, the gospel plan. He takes our penalty. We deserve separation from God because of our sin. He took our punishment. He bore our sins on the tree, Peter says in 2 Peter or 1 Peter 2. Here's the great transaction. We give him our sin, and he gives us his perfection so we can get to heaven. That's the transaction. See why it's called good news? See, I grew up thinking that I could get into heaven by just not being bad enough. You know, like a balance in the sky. Keep the scales tipping towards I'm not that bad. Even though I was a drug dealer and fake ID maker, and for that matter, just a day-to-day sinner. Sure, I could compare myself to Adolf Hitler and Charles Manson. I'm better than those guys. The problem is I'm comparing on the wrong scale. The Bible says we put our life in comparison to the Son of God, and we will all fall short. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, for all have sinned and fall short. We're in good company. Any genuine follower of Jesus Christ knows this truth. You give Jesus your sin, all of it. You ask him to forgive you of your sin, to pay the penalty, and in return you get salvation. I did this on November 2nd, 2001. But here's the thing, church. As followers of Jesus Christ, we must be continually dedicated to the gospel, even after we have trusted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Because the process of our growth, our walk with Jesus, it flows from the truth of the gospel. Look what Peter says to the church on what a gospel-centered life looks like for a believer. And really focus on that last verse, verse 9. But his divine power, Peter writes, has granted to us all the things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us precious, a very great promises, so that through him, through them, you may become partakers in the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at this verse. For whoever lacks in these areas, these growth areas as a believer, we have become nearsighted and blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from our former sins. See, the gospel is the fuel of the day-to-day life as Christ followers. If we want to grow as a church, not numerically, but spiritually, we have to live out the truth of the gospel we say saves us. Every person that places their faith, every person that walks in this building will hear the gospel. Amen. Some for salvation for the first time. But for those of us who know the truth, for our growth. HPC, we will be dedicated to the gospel. Secondly, we are going to be and will be dedicated to the Word of God. At High Point Church, we are dedicated to the Word of God, the Bible. Paul tells Timothy about the importance of the Word of God in the church in 2 Timothy. He says this, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through the faith in Jesus Christ. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Timothy was a pastor in the church in Ephesus. And Paul's telling Timothy, because of the Word of God, you are saved. And secondly, because of the Word of God, it is needed in the church for continual sanctification, being set apart. These verses from Paul were to encourage Timothy of the importance of God's Word. It makes the church a safe place to come. It's not our opinions that matter, but what God's Word says. Now, when we read God's Word, we see what happens in these verses. It says we get teaching. That's the word where we get doctrine from. Think of it this way. The right belief in who God is will always lead to the right actions for God. That's what doctrine does. The Bible teaches us who God is and who we are. But it also says we get reproof and correction. These words in 2 Timothy 3, these words carry the meaning of straightening us out. The Bible is going to correct us. If you read the Bible and you're the hero, you're reading it wrong. Jesus is the hero. We read and we learn about him. And that draws out areas of correction in our lives. We need that. The author of Hebrews says it this way. He says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from its sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. This is why we are dedicated to the Word of God. God needs to straighten us out so we can be witnesses of his mercy and his grace. In a couple weeks, I will begin a sermon series in the letter Paul wrote to the Colossians. Chapter by chapter, verse by verse, we will study this letter. Why? Because as followers of Jesus Christ, we need teaching, We need reproof, we need correction, and we need training in righteousness. That's why. We need the Word of God to speak into us above the noise of this world. So that, verse 17 says, we will be equipped for every good work. I remember when I first was saved, I was going to a church and my pastor, Pastor Pat, would preach the Word of God every Sunday, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. And I would go home and I would tell my wife, did you tell him what's going on in our house? It was like he was speaking right to me. That's what God's Word does. You can decide whether you want that or not. But we will be dedicated to preaching the Word of God. By the way, this should encourage you, not scare you. We need the safety of God's Word, not opinions. Because those change. God's Word doesn't change. And we are dedicated to the Word of God. And finally, we are dedicated to evangelism and missions. This is what makes us different. So when a church is dedicated to the gospel, when a church is dedicated to the Word of God, the people should be evangelistic. Both locally and globally. At the beginning of the church, we can read in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where Luke writes, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. This is Jesus speaking. Luke wrote it down in Acts. He says, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. This is the mission of the church, followers of Jesus. These places in Acts chapter 1, the disciples, they would have understood. These represented people and places that they would be sent or that they already lived in. When HPC started meeting back in 2012 in my home, there's a picture of the first service there. If all we did was meet together as a group of believers and study God's Word, we might get a little bit smarter, maybe. But we would have been a disobedient, sinful church because we were not dedicated, if we were not dedicated to sharing what we know. That's what makes a church different. Dedicated. Set apart. Because we share what we know. We are called as believers to share the gospel. Paul writes in Romans chapter 10, he says, how then will they call on him, meaning Jesus, in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? This is not a call to pastors. This is a call to a believer. And how are they to preach unless they're sent? I send you. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. At 10:30 this morning, at the second service, there will be some individuals that are coming here that Jesus saved. They're coming down from Minnesota. We need more believers up in Minnesota, so we sent them up there. Everyone should laugh about that one. His wife was already saved when me and my wife met her by grace through faith, but her husband wasn't. He pretended to be a follower of Christ so he could marry her. One day there was a couple that moved next door, me and my wife. Later on, I got a chance to do a Bible study with this guy. His name's Braden. And through the process of that, at the very beginning of the church, of High Point Church, he got saved. Both of them baptized, sharing their testimony of their faith in Jesus Christ. There's a picture of them. That was the first baptism at my house. Over the course of the last 14 years, every single year, by God's grace, there have been people that have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And they have given testimony publicly. Keep going through them all. These are just a snippet of some of the people. Praise the Lord. HPC, we are a church dedicated to sharing the gospel. Are you the only one that's going to say amen? That should have been an old amen. Let's try it. Are we going to be dedicated to sharing the gospel? Amen. Maybe today you're here and you're checking us out. But God's doing something more. He's bringing you to a place to tell you the truth. That God loves you. That he sent his son, Jesus, to die for your sins. Turn to him. That's what the word repent means. And ask him to forgive you today. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God and he came to save you and to give you eternal life. I love 2 Corinthians chapter 6. It says, working together with him, meaning God, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you. In the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I pray that that is true for you. You have been prayed for, by the way, if today is your day. Along with evangelism, it goes hand in hand with missions. I heard a pastor say once, a church should not be considered successful based on its seating capacity, but on its sending capacity. Let me say that again. I didn't say this, but a pastor said once, a church should not be considered successful based on its seating capacity, but on its sending capacity. We must be dedicated to raising up missionaries locally and globally. At High Point Church, we must be dedicated to evangelism and missions to point people to Jesus. That's kind of a good tagline for a church. So why come to High Point Church? Because we are dedicated to the gospel. We are dedicated to the word of God. And we will point people to Jesus. At this time, we're going to come, and I'm so glad our first service is a communion service. We do that on the first Sunday of every month because as followers of Jesus Christ, he tells us to do this in Scripture. The Word of God teaches us to remember what he's done. Jesus himself said to Paul and to Paul said to the churches, and so we do it today. We'll hold that bread. It's a symbol of Jesus' body, perfect, sinless, the perfect, spotless Lamb of God. He never sinned so that he can become the perfect sacrifice for our sins. So we confess. We confess our sins during this time. of all the things that put Jesus on that cross. We ask him to do a work in our lives, to get right with God, maybe. We hold that juice. His perfect, sinless body had to die. He had to shed his blood. Hebrews chapter 9 says, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. This is a time for followers of Jesus that are, we consider the truth of this gospel and how it's changed our lives, to continue to trust him. And there are some of you here today, again, the communion table is for the follower of Jesus Christ. And so if you're considering the truths of the gospel for the first time and have not yet decided to put your trust in him, pass these tables by. But I would argue, why would you pass this table? Why would you not want to dine with your Savior? When we take these elements, the bread and the juice, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 says this, when we eat the bread and drink the cup, we proclaim. See, every one of us that'll go to these tables in the front or the tables on the side, if you stand up and you go to these tables, you're telling people something. You're proclaiming something. What are you proclaiming? That Jesus is your Lord and Savior. And your desire is to live for him. So let's start preaching. Let me begin with prayer. Gracious and Heavenly Father, I thank you. Oh Lord, we dedicate ourselves and we dedicate this home to you. Lord, we are going to continue to do what we did back in my home. We will continue to be dedicated to the gospel, to the word of God, and pointing people to you. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, and all God's people said. So at this time, there'll be a song being sung. During that time of song, you individually go and take the elements, go back to your seat, and then we will commune together.